the volume.
What is going on, my people? Three and Out Podcast, Monday morning, exclusively on the Three and Out Podcast. Subscribe, leave a review, and let's rock and roll, baby. We are going to have a massive Tuesday podcast. I got to go back and watch a bunch of games Monday morning while you're probably listening to this. And yeah, I got Mac Jones. I got to dive in on that one. He is struggling. A bunch of other Seattle lost. Crazy day. A lot of stuff happened. I'm going to dive into Matt Stafford, a guy that we'll dive into that in a second. Justin Fields, watch that game start to finish. Not quite sure why I did. My guy Matt Nagy and the Bears coaching staff and Ryan Pace. I mean, just an absolute utter embarrassment. No way around it. One net yard passing. We'll dive into that. And also do a little look ahead. Monday Night Football, fantastic Monday night game. Dallas Cowboys, Nick Sirianni and the Eagles. I got a take. And you know me, I'm not like, I have opinions, and I'm not always right, you know, but I'm not, you know, Stephen A. Skip hot takey, but I got a pretty strong opinion on Mike McCarthy in this game, and I'm fired up on it. But let's start with... and of course, Middlecoff Mailbag, at John Middlecoff is the Instagram. Slide up into those DMs. Tuesday and Friday podcast, we will read DMs and your questions on the mailbag, of course. The heavyweight fight of the day was the Rams hosting Tom Brady and celebrity Phil. The place was look really awesome. That stadium, I mean, he spent $6 billion. Now with inflation, California, you know, in other states, probably be about three. Put that bad boy in Texas, you know, it's probably three and a half. So it's, you know, money's relative to where you live or whatever. Luckily, Kroenke, he's got the money. He's a rich dude. Pretty sure he also married one of the daughters of the Walton family. They own this little thing called Walmart. So money's not an issue, you know? He can't relate to us normal people financial issues. But he spent a lot of money, and the place looked awesome, celebrity-filled. They needed a star quarterback. And whether it was the right way to do it or the wrong way to do it, I don't know. But Sean McVay took a complete dump last year on Jared Goff. And as someone who watches a lot of NFC West football, Jared Goff was not very good the last couple years. It was clear. It wasn't just his play. He had physical limitations, couldn't make basic throws. So when they made the big trade for Stafford, and I said this last week, it's the biggest game of his career. Now, I know that he's played in playoff games before. I know that he's had some winning seasons in Detroit. But let's face it, they never had an opportunity in Detroit to ever make a Super Bowl run. We all know that. They didn't have a snowball's chance in hell to win games in January. And they never did. But he became this polarizing guy. Is he good? Is he not good? It's just a simple question that most of us sports fans, people that talk about football, just occasionally had, mainly on Thanksgiving when the one time a year we would see them play, or when our team would play the Lions. Because other than that, and I think any Lions fan knows listening to this, for the most part, you're always irrelevant, except for him. And my friends, and I knew a couple scouts in that division, they spoke really highly of him. And I think sometimes when you're in a bad situation, what do the people around you say? And in football, it doesn't have to be in your organization. When you're in a division with a guy, you study them really closely because you watch your division opponents very, very closely and you see the teams they play. So obviously you see them a lot on cross tape. The other guy that always sang Stafford's praises was Aaron Rodgers. And he's not one to go out of his way. So he had legit defenders. And then this year, when he made his trade request, it was just time. Look at the teams that came after him. The Rams and the 49ers went full bore. But as I was told last week, the Niners and Kyle Shanahan were really pissed when that trade went down because they didn't get an opportunity to counteroffer. Now, was it an inside job? Maybe. The general manager for the Lions came from the Rams. But they gave up two first-round picks for a guy, you know, that's going to be 33 years old and makes a lot of money. It was a bold move. Obviously, they got rid of Jared Goff, which they wanted to do. But given two first-round picks, eating all that dead cap and getting, you know, somewhat an older player, right? A guy that had been in the league 11 years was a bold move. And let's face it, it worked and it is working. And I got a lot on social media. Well, what's going to happen when he gets in the playoffs? Who, when we go to the playoffs, do you truly trust? Tom Brady? Mahomes? Two guys. I've seen Russell Wilson not play well in the playoffs. Lamar's won one playoff game. Josh Allen, 2 years ago, was playing like rugby with his other players when he was getting sacked, pitching the ball behind him. So this notion like he hasn't proven anything, most guys have not. There are really a couple guys in this league that have proven things in the playoffs. Even Aaron Rodgers was a little hit or miss last year and has been before in his playoff career. Obviously, he's won a Super Bowl. Last time I checked, that was over a decade ago. Like, I will take my chances with this guy. The other thing that's really clear is that the Rams have been really good the last 4 years. They've made the playoffs three of the four of those, right? And the year they missed it, they went 9-7. And that was the year before they added a playoff spot. So if they would have had seven playoff spots, the Rams would have made the playoffs all four of McVay's years. Well, their ceiling right now with Matt Stafford is dramatically higher than it's been. Why? Because he can make throws that Jared Goff couldn't dream of making. And I'm not some Jared Goff hater. I'm a Cal fan, grew up rooting for the program. I naturally root for people in my area. I'm rooting for Jared Goff to just be functional. And he's being that right now. He's actually not been terrible this season, given what he's playing with. But Matt Stafford, if you had put those two guys in the same draft, whether it was 2016 or back in 2011, at the same age, there is not a general manager or head coach in the NFL that would have taken Jared Goff over Matt Stafford. And now Sean McVay, who I saw a stat today, is 40-0 when leading at halftime. Now, to me, Tom Brady and the Bucs, they have nothing to prove. Absolutely nothing. They're the defending champs. We'll see. The Rams, their division is way easier than the NFC West. So the Rams will just lose games. I still think the Bucs have the opportunity to get the number one seed. Antonio Brown, who's been playing really well this season, was on the COVID list, so he didn't even travel. I would not write off the Bucs. Their coaching staff's too good. They got Tom freaking Brady, and they just have too many good players. Now, their secondary can be a little hit or miss, but most secondaries in the NFL are a little hit or miss. You know, the Rams, who have a above average secondary, have one elite DB. You can throw to the other side. So, but you saw on full display today the reason they made the trade. Four touchdowns, making passes that were just like, whoa. And again, Troy Aikman said during the game, he's like, yeah, this is probably the most important game Matt Stafford's ever played in. Like, it was clear. And you could tell Matt had some jitters, places packed as the game went on, settled in. Cooper Kupp is a star. And they kind of lit up Tampa Bay. Great teams lose games in the regular season. You could have a fantastic season in 2021 and lose four games. You'd still have 13 wins. I think sometimes we overreact when good teams lose. Right? When bad teams, I'm sure we'll talk about the Giants, John Mara, I mean, what a disaster. What an utter embarrassment that franchise is. Like, you can't overreact. When the Giants are losing, you can have legitimate takes. When certain teams lose, like Urban Meyer can't even get close to winning a game, you can have takes on that. Tampa Bay, like, I'm sorry, they've earned the benefit of the doubt. They've earned some wiggle room to be like, yeah, traveled, you know, across the country day before the game. I heard Peter Schrager last week say they flew out late Saturday night. Like, okay, it happened. I'm not making an excuse. They got beat. And the Rams are really good. And the Rams ceiling has been elevated a couple notches. They've been really good, like I said. They have been a consistent winning team under Sean. Now they are a legitimate Super Bowl contender. A team that if they were to make it there, ain't scoring 3 points in the Super Bowl like they did there one time with Jared Goff. That would not happen. Now, I'm not saying there's some lock to win it all, but my takeaway today watching them was like, yeah, they're a powerhouse team right now. And they are going to be hell to deal with if they can keep their core guys healthy, which is obviously Stafford, Whitworth, their left tackle. They're very dependent on him because their offensive line, Donald, Cooper Kupp, Jalen Ramsey. I wouldn't want to mess with them come big games. And I believe that Matt Stafford, just like all those other quarterbacks I mentioned, and probably even on a higher end, like I would trust probably Matt Stafford equally as much, if not more, than Josh Allen. He's just seen more football, more than Lamar. And I love those guys. So I feel Sean McVay feels pretty vindicated And you could see how excited he was on the sideline with days like today. The biggest game of week three is Monday night matchup, Eagles at the Cowboys. And FanDuel Sportsbook is making it even bigger because FanDuel is giving new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can end the NFL weekend right by making $150 on a $5 bet. I'm taking the Eagles in the points. I love their offensive line. I love their defensive line. I love their skill guys and their tight ends, even if Ertz is out against the Cowboys defense. Now, Dak looks like he's playing really well. That offense is awesome. I do not trust the Cowboys defense, though, especially to get pressure against a very, very good Eagles offensive line. I actually think the Eagles are going to win the division. FanDuel sports betting made simple, and they're always hooking you up with great offers. Plus, when you win, you'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. See for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just sign up with the promo code COLIN this week before Dallas takes on Philadelphia. You could win $150 on a $5 bet. Remember to use the promo code COLIN so they know I sent you. And if you are in Michigan, make sure you check out this week's Can't Miss Spread the Love offer on the Michigan versus Rutgers game, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Disclaimer, in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Minnesota, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and West Virginia. New users only. $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market, max bonus 150. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Restrictions apply. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com. Colorado, New Jersey, Virginia, 1-800-N-WITH-IT. Indiana, 1-800-27-717. For confidential help, Minnesota, Tennessee, Redline, 1-800-889-9789. Tennessee, visit www.1800gambler.net. West Virginia, or call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342, Arizona. Okay, just got done watching Bears at the Brownies. And actually really enjoyed Burkhart, who used to be paired with John Lynch, now has Greg Olsen, the former tight end. It's nice to get some new young blood in the analyst chair. So many old stiffs who never say anything. It's just hard to watch, make you want to turn on, you know, music or a podcast during the game. I really enjoy that crew. Now, Kevin's a stud, you know, probably a top two or three play-by-play guy in the NFL and maybe even all of sports. He does baseball, too. But Greg's really good. He's very, very, very enjoyable. He's going to get even better as he keeps doing these games and easily jumps to the top of the heap as one of the better former players on television. Bar's relatively low, but he's a high-level guy and enjoyed listening to him. Justin Fields, he threw, get your notepad down. This is a fact. I had to double-check it because I got a text message. It's true. The Chicago Bears had one net passing yard. One net passing yard. I said it before the game. You have to do things to make it easy on the young guy. You can't just drop him back against this defensive line with his skill set and expect him to pick you apart or expect him to pick the defense apart. He clearly could not do that. They were not rolling out the pocket. They were not playing to the guy's strengths. He is the third fastest quarterback in the NFL. Lamar, Kyler, and him. They run 4-4s. Get him on the move. Instead, they dropped him back like he's Peyton Manning or Tom Brady. Nagy's my guy. Known him for a long time. John DeFilippo, the quarterback coach. I consider them both friends. That today was embarrassing for their coaching staff. It really was. I get the guy's raw. I get they have been preaching to everyone. He's not ready. They might be right. They did not do themselves any favors. As the game kept going on, Myles Garrett, who is clearly just pure talent, he's one of the most talented defensive linemen in the history of the league. With that size, with that explosion, with that speed, think of in NFL history how many freak defensive linemen there have been. He's in the top two or three of just pure talent. Speed, size, power, ability to bend. He's fucking got it all. And they're leaving him on an island against Jason Peters, who once upon a time was one of the greatest left tackles in the history of the league. I mean, probably a Hall of Famer. But he's 40 years old. You're leaving him on an island against this guy? He can't even touch him, even when he gets a good set, let alone when he's not paying attention and Miles goes right around him. They set up the guy to be killed. Today was a low point for the Chicago Bears. I did not expect them to win. Of course not. They were, I think, a 10-point underdog. as well as they should have been. The Browns are a good team. Not a great team. As you see, they got some flaws. Baker can be hit or miss as a passer. Run game's awesome. Their defensive line's awesome. And, I mean, Myles Garrett, I think Burkhardt said it, like, today was a joke. I mean, it looked like you were watching. I would imagine that's what, like, if you looked at the top defensive lineman that's going to, like, Ohio State or Georgia or Alabama, that their high school games would look like Myles Garrett today, where it's just like every game, 4 or 5 sacks, going up against offensive linemen who can't even touch him, quarterback running for his life. I mean, but this was the National Football League. This was the Chicago Bears. And this notion that, like, Andy Dalton, here was my thing about throwing Justin Fields in. What would Andy Dalton would have been killed as well today. What the hell's the difference? You might as well just let the young guy attempt to learn through this. Now, you have to put plays in the playbook that's conducive to his success. Get him on the move. He is not just going to drop back and play like, you know, he's Drew Brees or Phillip Rivers or Peyton Manning. That is not this guy's skill set, especially for a rookie. Get him moving right. Get him moving left. Utilize his legs. Why didn't they run some option? Why didn't they steal some plays from the Baltimore Ravens? They just went in like Andy Dalton was their quarterback. Complete head scratcher. And they got clowned, embarrassed on national television. I mean, I'm in California. This was the only game I truly got just on my national television slate in the morning. Thank God for Red Zone. Thank God for the Ryder Cup. Because, I mean, I was feeling bad for the guy. I was like, is this kid going to make it? You finally get a start. You get drafted really high. And then you just get thrown to the wolves like that? It shows you. This league is about coaching. This league is about adapting. Nothing bothers me more in the sport of football than this is us. This is what we do. I remember this summer listening to Cliff Kingsbury talk to Sean McVay and Peter Schrager on his podcast. And he dropped a line like, you know, I was watching some tape this offseason and I loved what Sean did with so-and-so concept. He's like, but we don't have that in our playbook. That's not what we do. Imagine saying that out loud as a coach. That's not what we do. We don't major in those concepts. Well, yeah, I mean, Bill Walsh didn't run certain plays that other organizations ran, but if he saw it and the play worked, he'd put it in the fucking playbook, right? Isn't the goal? It's just to do things that work. So if you see other people running plays and it's not quote unquote your core philosophy, but you go, hey, that works, wouldn't you institute it? Think about whatever business you're in right now. You could be in the insurance business, but if you go into a restaurant and you see something that you can utilize in your own business, you don't steal that? I listen to people talk just about sports, life, all day. I have the TV on, I have a podcast going, I'm constantly listening to other people talk. And whenever I hear something that gets my brain going and go, God, I could use that for the show, I steal it. And then I talk about it, you know? What are you doing? I'm at a loss that they had all these plays like they were rolling out basically Andy Dalton or a true pocket quarterback on a team that Ryan Pace is an embarrassment. The offensive line that he built on his team 4 years in, this is not year one. He's been the GM there longer. This is actually Nagy's 4th year. He'd been there well before with John Fox. It sounds like I'm being critical of the coaching staff, and I am, but this is equally on Ryan Pace, who built an offensive line that's a laughingstock. I mean, an absolute laughingstock. Their only hope to play left tackle was a guy that they drafted this year that had red flags about back issues coming into the draft. They had to call 40-year-old Jason Peters. I think he's 39, but I rounded up. Who was retired, basically, to then play for them and immediately start him. That's how desperate the Bears were. And now they're in the situation where, and I say this all the time about rookie quarterbacks, you saw with Trevor Lawrence, threw a bad pick today. McCorkle in New England looks awful. It's hard because this game is very, very difficult. It's hard for 32-year-olds who have been in the league for 10 years, let alone for 21, 22, 20-year-old rookie quarterbacks. You have to put things in the playbook that, you know, put their strengths at the forefront of your offense, that put them in positions to succeed. It's not about what you know. Coaches love talking about how much they work during the week, how much time they spend in the film room by themselves. No one cares. You don't get any credit for that come Sunday. How many hours you slept. Okay, you averaged 3 hours of sleep Monday through Thursday. You want a cookie? Because I'm watching your players. They don't know what's going on. And then just basic things like you spend all this time in a film room and you can't put help for Jason Peters, right? Or if you're Ryan Pace, you spend all this time working and scouting these players and this is the offensive line you roll out? Should be ashamed. I mean, absolutely awful. It's going to be rough sailing for Justin Fields just because they can't protect him. And his playing style, get rid of the ball fast. Yeah, it's not fair to ask a 21-year-old guy to be able to think like he's a 10-year vet. Yet you have to ask him to do things that he has a chance to execute with his own skill set when he's making his first couple starts in the NFL, especially against, you know, arguably the best defensive end in the league right now when you have tackles that, you know, might not be able to block me or you. So it's just, it was a shame what we witnessed on Sunday morning. Okay, there's a lot of stuff we could get to. You know, I got a take on USC. We'll probably have to save that till Tuesday. But look ahead toward a big, huge Monday night game. Obviously, these two brands, I mean, the Cowboys, arguably a top three or four brand in the world in sports. The Eagles, a little more regional, but their region, Philly, is a massive market. This game's going to be huge. And there's a lot on the line. Like, Washington isn't that good. They got housed today by the Bills. We know the Giants stink. Whoever wins this game is going to be in pretty good position. And really, even the loser wouldn't be dead. But whoever wins this game, to me, these two teams are competing for the NFC East all season long. But, and you know, I am not a hot take guy. If I say something, I believe it. And I've been thinking about this really all week leading up to this game. Because all offseason, Nick Sirianni, people were making fun of him. Hell, I, including myself. You watch the press conferences. It had some Tom Sula vibe. Part of it, too, we had never heard of the guy. We're like, where'd this guy come from? Now he can't speak in press conferences. And then some of my guys on the team, as training camp went on, they're like, bro, I think we're pretty good. I think we're not bad. He's actually pretty good with the team. I start hearing from the inside, like, he's pretty impressive. I love this guy. Then I watch his team the first 2 weeks. I go, you know what? I might need to back up on my Sirianni's over his head take. He's pretty good. His team last week against the Niners came out firing. They're physical. They still need to find an identity, but they have talent. Their lines are good. But Nick Sirianni, in his third game as an NFL head coach, going on the road to the Cowboys home opener, under no circumstances can Mike McCarthy lose this game. Listen, there are legitimate questions about Mike McCarthy. Is he any good? I say it all the time. I'm not always sure what Mike's doing. He's an offensive guy, but he doesn't call the offensive plays. Kellen Moore does. He didn't hire Kellen Moore. So it's not like his, you know, Byron Leftwich. He didn't bring him along, right? That is not his guy. Or like Pete Carroll with all the defensive guys, you know, like the Dan Quinns and the Gus Bradleys. Like Mike McCarthy has absolutely zero to do with Kellen Moore. He inherited the guy, zero connection. And Kellen runs the offense. And as we see, when Dak is healthy, that offense is good. But Mike knows nothing about defense. Hell, he hired Mike Nolan last year. And the special teams, he has one of the better special teams coordinators in the league in Fossil's kid, who's good as well, Bones. So he's just kind of standing there on the sideline in Cowboys gear. You got to win this game. And the Cowboys, like, I thought they could have justified firing him last offseason. It was that bad. It was that big of an embarrassment. And part of it is, like, I say it all the time. It's not just the coaches you hire, especially as an older coach, when you sit out a year, that reflects you. You had a year to pick your coaching staff, and you chose Mike Nolan just because 15 years earlier, he had hired you on the 49ers staff. Like, you guys are both rich since then. You don't need any, you know, friends doing a friend a favor at that point when you have that much on the line. And clearly he was forced to fire him. Hell, maybe he even realized, like, I got to get this guy out of there. Now you have Dak. You have a fully loaded offense. The defense actually tackled pretty well last week against the Chargers. Made some plays under Dan Quinn. You got to beat Nick Sirianni. Can you imagine if I told you 3 months ago that Mike McCarthy with a healthy team, I guess Lyle Collins is now suspended because he tried to bribe one of the league, whoever was doing the drug test, which, listen, if I was in that position and I knew I was going to get suspended and I was a rich guy, I probably would too. You know, the owner in my backyard, Eddie DeBartolo, once, you know, used to bribe a lot of people. Now, when you get caught, you look like an idiot. But, you know, bribes happen. You'd be naive to think they don't. In every business, it, you know, a lot of brown bags with cash. Now maybe Venmo. That's going on. So if you're not doing it, that's fine. I don't hold it against you. But just know, people do it. And I would imagine Lyle Collins is not the first player to attempt that move. Like, bro, I don't want to get suspended. How much would it cost you for you to pee in the cup? Could you do that? I'll give you $20,000 cash right now. If I was that dude and you're only making like 100 after taxes, how much are you really seeing? Like 65, 70? You're like, you know, 20 cash, make it 40, 50. You don't think he'd say yeah? But clearly, I didn't even read the story. I just laughed. McCarthy's got to win this game. The Cowboys, if you're losing to Nick Sirianni week three at home in the home opener, what are we even doing keeping McCarthy on? And I'm not trying to overreact to just one game. It's only week three. But if Mike McCarthy can't beat the Philadelphia Eagles in a division where it might just take 9 wins, like 9-8, more than likely, the Giants are going to win 3 games. Washington probably wins 6 or 7. You know, the Eagles probably be around 7 or 8. So I'd say 9-8 would win you the NFC East. Got to win this game. Because if you don't, like, listen, is Mike McCarthy coaching the team in 2022 if they don't win this division? And I just don't think you're winning this division if you're losing at home to the Eagles. What, you going to beat them in Philadelphia? Probably not. So you better win this bad boy, or I think the clock, it's like, this guy's just on borrowed time. We're going to have a big, big show coming out Tuesday, exclusively, John Middlecoff, 3 and Out Podcast. Go subscribe. Go leave a little review. I know a lot of you have, and I greatly appreciate it. Slide up in those DMs, at John Middlecoff. Get your question answered on Thursday and Friday's show. And I look forward to rocking and rolling with you all week. Let's go, baby.
The volume.